There's just never a dull service at Westmoreland. Amen. And it shouldn't be anywhere. And man was preached his heart out, when he went out to the back of the lobby, somebody shook his hand and said, "Pastor, that was a warm sermon." He said, "Warm?" He said, "Yeah, it wasn't too hot." Well, we've got a hot service here tonight. Amen. And thank the Lord. And we praise the Lord for all of his blessings. I want you to turn with me tonight to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. We're going to try to do a miracle sermon tonight and not keep you too long tonight. But I want to talk to you tonight about Thanksgiving is essential. All across America, there's a big debate on whether or not to cancel Thanksgiving. Governor Roy Cooper has continued phase 3 and has sent out the edict that no gatherings larger than 10. And I do concur with the health experts that we need to exercise caution. And if you've got family that are with other health issues, I encourage you to use caution and prayerfully consider as you gather. But the bottom line is this. Thanksgiving, I believe, is essential. I believe that we need to gather this Thursday. The Pilgrim Fathers who came to America to make a home in the wilderness where they might have freedom to worship God according to the dictates of their conscience, they had their first harvest in 1621. So at Plymouth, Massachusetts, the little handful of devoted people having homes, hewing homes out of the literal wilderness, and after many perils, set aside a day for Thanksgiving to God. And on that day, they feasted and gave thanks. President Abraham Lincoln in 1864 declared that the last Thursday of November would be the official day of Thanksgiving. Would you stand with me tonight as we talk to you about Thanksgiving is essential. And as for the pilgrims, and as for President Lincoln, and as for the apostles of the New Testament and the prophets of the Old Testament, I believe that God, there is power in Thanksgiving. And I want you to turn around and tell somebody Thanksgiving is essential. Tell them that right now. And let's read Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. If you're there, say amen. Read it out loud all together. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And be ye thankful. Say it again. And be ye thankful. Say, "I'm going to be thankful." Thanksgiving is essential. And Father, anoint the preaching of your word tonight, and we'll give you the praise and glory. And everybody said amen. And amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to see them tonight. We will not be having service Wednesday evening, so we'll meet back after Thanksgiving. And I've been doing a series on the essentials, and I've taken a break, and I got a little under the weather back in October, was out a couple of Sundays, and then there were some other issues that came up with the election, but I still have one more message on the essentials, and that is on soul winning, and I've got to preach it before I finish that series. But being this is the Thanksgiving week, I feel like that we need to talk about the power of Thanksgiving. I read about the great singer Caruso, C-A-R-U-S-O. And on a tour to Cincinnati, he was exposed to what he considered great hardships. A Pittsburgh hotel expected him to sleep on a 3-quarter bed with one mattress and 2 pillows. Right? But Caruso demanded a double bed, 3 mattresses and 18 pillows. 18 pillows, 3 mattresses, or no concert. So at 1:30 at night, closets were ransacked and mattresses and pillows were drug up and found as requested. They had to do all that before the great tenor would sing. And you know, I thought about that we live in a time of abundance. And if we're not careful, too many people are like the great singer Caruso. We've already got enough, more than enough, but it seems like we're not happy unless we have more upon more upon more. I think that we need to be thankful for every blessing, every victory, every trial, every test. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. Why? That we might show forth the praises and the thanksgiving of those who have called out of darkness into His marvelous light. I'm going to add some spit to the pulpit that Sister Janice did tonight, because I am thankful tonight. I want to preach it. I want to say it. I want to be thankful if I got one pillow or 18 pillows. Why don't you give Him a praise for everything? Give thanks unto the Lord. Point number one, inquiries regarding thankfulness. I want to ask you, are you thankful? Does your heart, like David's, go out to God in gratitude as you meditate upon God's mercies that He has shown you? Do you thank God for spiritual and temporal blessings abundantly bestowed? Do you receive daily benefits without acknowledging their source? In my personal prayer time, I begin the first 5 to 10 to 15 minutes in nothing but thanking God. I don't start with my complaints. I don't start with my prayer list. I don't start with my needs, as much as I have needs just like you do. I don't start by praying for the missionaries. I start out my prayers because I want God to know that I am thankful for every hair on my head that He's numbered. I'm thankful for hot and cold running water. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful, praise God, for my family. I am thankful even for the trials and the tests, because when you begin, the Bible says, enter His gates with what? And enter His courts with what? Don't go into the courts and don't go into the gates saying, God, give me. My name is Jimmy. Come on now. Enter His gate. Would you like for your spouse to come in and as soon as they walk in the door, give me a cup of water, give me something to eat? Here's how it ought to be done, and here's how I try to do. Oh, honey, I'm glad to see you, and I'm thankful for you, and now let's get something to eat. Amen, somebody. Let's do. Are you thankful? Amen. Praise God, somebody. Thankfulness is a declarative mood of gratitude. It is a bright fire in a world's frigid zone. It is a well of water in a desert. Just saying thank you. The Bible says continue in prayer with thanksgiving in Colossians 4 and 2. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and 6, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And Daniel gave thanks before his God in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. And Psalms 50 and 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving. Jonah, who had gone through the belly of the whale, who had made mistakes and dug his own pits, he said when he began to pray, I will offer the sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Now, this is when he's still in the belly. This is when he's still in the middle of hell. If you want to get out of that hell, if you want to get out of the belly of the whale, one of the ways you can do is start saying, thank you, Lord, and I praise you. And sure enough, God delivered him. Oh, let me tell you, just say, I thank God. Say it with me. I thank God. Say it one more time. I just thank God for all of His blessings. Amen. Cicero calls gratitude the mother of all virtues. Seneca said, he that urges gratitude pleads the cause both of God and man. He that urges gratitude, he that is grateful, pleads the cause of both God and man. 'Tis true, God has two dwellings, one in heaven and the other in a thankful heart. Can you give Him a hand of praise? Are you thankful? I'm inquiring. Are you thankful? And then I want us to talk about not only the inquiry, but the iniquity of unthankfulness. You know, one of the sins charged against the false profession of the last days is that of unthankfulness. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 through 4. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's a tough lot right there. Come on. Lovers of themselves, cover. I feel like I'm watching CNN Network or MSNBC or now even Fox News. We see a bunch of proud boasters and disobedience and unthankful and unholy. Go to the next scripture in verse 3. Without natural affection. You know that means homosexuality, lesbianism. So, brother and sister, I'm just trying to tell you, being unthankful, you're right in there with some very serious situations there. And it is an iniquity. It is a sin. Unthankfulness is listed with covetousness and blasphemy. In Luke, God puts it in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. I don't believe I sent that scripture over, but it says this in Luke 6 and verse 35. For he, God, is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. So in that scripture, being unthankful is tied right there with being evil. Oh, my friend, ingratitude, sour and peevish. Peevishness would make you believe that all good. Listen, that spirit of unthankfulness, it'll get in you. If you don't have a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness, you'll feel like the whole world is wrong. You'll feel like that all youth are corrupt. You will feel like that God is a merciless tyrant. If you don't have a spirit of gratitude, the clouds will always be dark, the service will always be dry, and the preacher will always be too long, and the music will always be too loud. If you've got ungratitude or ingratitude, oh, let me tell you, you've got to get out of that ungrateful spirit. Well, the music is too loud. Well, be thankful you have ears to hear and be bothered. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I live in the country. I live out there around Shiloh Church, and it's quite busy out there. And now there's a trend going on. And these young people now, they seem to think it's a cool thing to take the muffler off and let it rip. You understand the car has a muffler for a reason. Now, you understand that if your car did not have a muffler, it would sound like one of those race cars on the NASCAR circuit. Because thank God there is a muffler, praise God. So when it drives by people's house, it's not loud, but now they're taking the mufflers off, and just when I've sat down and got cozy, going right by. And when I'm driving home from a hard days of work, right beside me. It's not a Harley Davidson. I'm talking about a regular little old car or a big truck or whatever. And I just get hits me the wrong way, but then I'll stop and I'll say, Father, thank you that I can hear. Was it your car doing that? Oh, your truck? Well, I'm thankful that God, you know, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Amen. Somebody give him praise for every good and perfect gift. Hallelujah. Shakespeare said, I hate ingratitude more in a man than lying, vainness, babbling, or drunkenness, or any taint of vice whose strong corruption inhabits our frail blood. Boy, that's pretty powerful. He went on to write, Shakespeare said, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. Wow. Oh, you know, these kids around here that just, they always ask, and they never say thank you for it. And I'm not just talking about our kids. I'm talking about kids in general. I'm talking about when I was a kid. You've got to teach people. Spirit of gratitude can and must be caught. Amen, somebody. Oh, Matthew Henry, who wrote the 6-volume commentary. Anybody ever read any of the Matthew Henry commentary? Oh, if you studied the Bible, you go down to the Bible bookstore down there in Wilson, get you the 6-volume, and just pick up any one of them. Read John 17, the high priestly prayer. Read Matthew's commentary on that. Matthew Henry lived in the late 1600s and passed away in the early 1700s. And he was just so filled with the scripture, so loved God, and had a large family, and he had a lot of death in his family. I'm watching a movie on him right now. Me and my wife are about to finish it. We've been watching it in pieces as we eat supper, because there ain't nothing on TV to watch, I'm telling you, right now. I don't want to see the mess. But let me tell you, Matthew Henry got robbed. He got robbed, and he wrote in his journal, he said, I am thankful that only my money was stolen and not my life. He said, I'm also thankful that I had something to be robbed. Amen. Think about that. You know, yeah. Hey, that's a positive way of looking at it. And then he said, I am thankful also that I was the one robbed and not the one who robbed. Oh, my friend, let's give thanks and let's give praise to God, even in the difficulties. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Many, this is a powerful thought, many fail more often in gratitude than any of the other Christian graces. And I thought that's a powerful statement. Now we think about many Christians fail in adultery. We've seen preachers fall. Many people fail in tithing, giving, faith, church attendance. That's a failure because you are to assemble weekly, not every other weekly, not monthly, not yearly, semi-annually. Every week, on the first day of the week, you're to gather with the saints unless you're hindered. To not gather with the saints and you're able to gather with the saints means you're not doing what God wants you to do. And we call a word for that. What is that word, church? Well, we call it a what? Okay, let's teach. Let's have a teaching moment here. When God asks you to do something and you don't do it, it's disobedience is a... Oh, there we go, right here. It's hard to say sin. You sound like the Fonz. It's hard to say I'm sorry. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, friend. It's a sin when we don't. Listen. Many people don't attend church. Many people don't witness. You know, if we don't witness, many people fail in different things. But I'll tell you what the most common failure is. Yes, there's adultery, lack of church attendance, offended spirit or not tithing. But the most committed sin, according to this author that I'm quoting here, the most committed sin, in his opinion, is this, the sin of ingratitude or unthankful. And you know, I got thinking about that. There's probably more instances in my life where I was not grateful, or I did not give God thanks for even the small things, than any of this other stuff. I don't have problems with the other stuff per se, but friend, we don't want to do that. Milton brands ingratitude as besotted and base. Swift says, "He that calls a man ungrateful sums all the evil of which one can be guilty." Thomason told the truth when he said that ingratitude is treason. Oh, my friend, listen, we don't want to be unthankful. I've talked to you about the iniquity of unthankfulness, the inquiry of thankfulness. Now, let's talk about the inclusiveness of thanksgiving. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, inclusiveness. What are we to give thanks for? What does it say? Now, I didn't say for everything. I'll never thank God for a bad doctor's report. Come on now. But I can thank God in a bad doctor's report because I believe the report of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 53 says, "Who has believed the report of the Lord, and to whom is his arm revealed?" And R.W. Schambach says, "I'll tell you to whom his arm is stretched out. It is to those who believe the report of the Lord." If you want to see God's arm stretched out, then believe the report of the Lord. I am healed and not sick. I am blessed and highly favored. And I may not see it, but I'm going to see it. I've got a feeling, bless God. Everything, give thanks unto God. Can you say amen? Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Be you thankful. Robert G. Lee, great Baptist preacher, he said, "Be you thankful when barns are filled and plenty and when fields are barren, when the cup of woe is bitter and when money is sufficient and when riches take to themselves wings or leave you, when tides of health are at their full and when all muscles are highways for running to and fro with pain. Still give thanks in health and in sickness. When friends despise and forsake you, give thanks for the gall with the honey, the martyr's fire in its suffering as well as the hearthstone fire with its comfort, for hailstones that ruin fruitful fields as well as purposeful rains that quench drought, for tribulation severe as well as triumph sweet, for goodbyes that break our hearts as well as for greetings that cheer our hearts, for desert places as well as for the garden. In everything, glory to God, give Him thanks. That's a Christian duty, and it's a Christian delight. It's a Christian demand, hallelujah, to give thanks. You are to give thanks when we're bereaved of loved ones, when you find traitors among friends, when sickness brings you prostration, when hopes wither, when you have only summer clothes for winter time. Yea, in everything you are to give thanks. Can we praise Him right now? And I mean, in everything. You say, even when we're bereaved of a loved one, listen, friend, death is the doorway to glory. I said, death is the door. There is another world where the streets are pure gold, where the roses never fade, and there is no arthritis. There are no children like my brother's granddaughter that can't comprehend. Oh, my friend, heaven, there are no divided elections and fraudulent elections. In fact, there are no elections in glory. Sounds good to me. Amen. You believe in a dictatorship? Yeah, if it's God. Hallelujah. He is a dictator. He's got the right, and He made it all. Amen. Oh, my friend, we just need to realize that even in death itself, when my father died, he was not a Christian, and he would not come to church for many years. And for about 2 years in a row, he'd come every Sunday, sit up here where they're sitting there. And it just thrilled my heart. And Mama wouldn't come even with him at that time. And I point over there because we live over in Westmount. And I talked to Daddy, and I remember taking him up to Chapel Hill, and he'd come to church every Sunday, and I don't mean this wrong, but the rest of the crowd was saved, but there was one man I wanted to get saved, and I'll be honest with you, Brother Philip, I just preached salvation just as hard as I could. I did. I felt led. Amen. I did a whole series on why be saved and be saved today. I preached with all of my heart. And I remember driving him up to the doctor in Chapel Hill. I said, Daddy, you've come to church. You've quit drinking. I see such positive changes. Have you given your life to the Lord? Have you really gotten saved? And he said he hadn't. And he was honest about it. And he began to drift off a little bit. And I remember that he got sick 1 year. And he just continued to have some sickness. And I told him over here at Wilson Hospital, I said, Daddy, and just about every time he'd get really sick, God would bring him through. I mean, God would just bring him through. I could tell you stories. I was in Nash General Hospital, and he had a fever and could not break. And I spent the night with him that night. It ain't me now. It's not me, not Ricky Nelms. But I just prayed all night, and that fever broke in the middle of the morning. I said, Daddy, every day, and we had just got through another successful situation. It looked bad. I said, Daddy, God's always bringing you through. But one day, it's going to be the last time. And I urge you, I said, I know you're my dad and I know I'm your son, but I urge you, Dad, give your life to Jesus. Well, he didn't really do it. And finally he got sick one more time. And we went up to Pitt Hospital and they were going to put him on a tube. And I held his hand and Mama, they told Mama and me and my cousin Pam, they said, if you want to talk to him, we get ready to put him on the tube and he'll be unconscious for a few days while his body's healing. And I just sit back. Because I just made up my mind, I'm going to give it all I got. I said, I'm going to just go for it. I'm going to ask him to get saved. He may tell me no, but who knows? This might be the last time. I don't know. Folks, we don't need to play with souls. Amen. Come on, we need to take this serious. We're talking about heaven or hell. We're talking about the flames of hell forever and ever. I'm sorry. So I let Mama and Pam do what they were going to do, and they stepped out. Bless God, I walked right in. I said, Daddy, I love you. I looked at him. I said, Daddy, don't you feel like it's time to give your heart to the Lord? Now, I thought he was going to say no or not now. And that's really what I was expecting. But he said, yes, I do. I said, do you want to pray the sinner's prayer, give your heart? He said, yes, son, I do. I led him in a sinner's prayer. That's the last conversation I had with my dad, because 40 days later, he was gone. Oh, my friend, death And we were at that funeral, and it was so hard. My dad was only 62 years old, and I'm 49, and 62 looks younger every day. Come on now. I can't imagine just 12 more years of life ahead, or whenever God takes me. But I'll tell you this, my friend, even in death, we can be thankful. It is not the end of the story. The Bible says we're not to sorrow as others who have no hope. Listen, I know people grieve in different ways. I don't know how close death, like a spouse or a child, would affect me. I'm not going to tell you that, but I will tell you this. I hope that, yes, I'll be sad. Yes, I will shed tears, but I want this world to know that my hope is built on the promise. I am thankful that even at the grave, He is with us. Somebody give Him praise here tonight in everything. Praise God. And you look at your brother in Christ in the casket or sister in Christ, just thank God they don't have to pay any more taxes. Amen. Praise God. Oh, let me give you finally some inspiration. The inclusiveness in everything. And I want to give you some inspirations. David, giving thanks for the wondrous works of God in Psalm 26 and 7. The Levites were to stand, according to 2 Chronicles 23 and 30, stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. Daniel, the secret of Nebuchadnezzar's dream was revealed from heaven in a night vision, gave thanks, said, "Oh God, I thank you, O Father." Nehemiah dedicated the wall of Jerusalem, the Bible says, with thanksgiving. Isaiah speaks of how God shall comfort Zion and with the voice of thanksgiving heard. Amos, exhorting Israel, says, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Anna, a prophetess, of great age, seeing Simeon holding Jesus in his arms, the infant Jesus, and hearing Simeon speak those words of wisdom, she gave thanks. The apostles who suffered persecution gave thanks that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. The angels at God's throne in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12 said, thanksgiving be unto our God. When you can't cancel thanksgiving, brother. It may be canceled in Minnesota. It may be canceled in California. It may be canceled in Raleigh, but it will not be canceled in the eternal realms of celestial glory. They are singing thanksgiving. It is essential. Can we say amen? Paul had all of his, he was stripped and whipped and let down a wall by the ropes of hope, and he was persecuted and betrayed. He was thrown in prison without his winter coat. He was in so many different situations, but yet he gave us so many admonitions to rejoice and to be thankful. Somebody say amen. But our greatest example is Jesus. The Bible says that he is thankful for food. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and what? He gave thanks. Are you grateful for food? I'll tell you, when I sit down at the table at Cracker Barrel and they bring that plate of biscuits, the first bite is a half moon and the second is a total eclipse. And I am thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. He was thankful for food. He was thankful for personal gifts. When Mary, with uncalculating love, broke the costly box of nard and anointed his head and feet, he defended her against his critics and immortalized her deed. He was thankful for her personal gift. Jesus was thankful for friends. He said in John 15 and 15, henceforth I call you not servants but friends. He was thankful for helpful service. When seated on the throne under a new relationship, he will recall kindness done to him. The king will say to them on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, for I was a hungered and you gave me meat, thirsty and you gave me drink. He was thankful for helpful service. He was thankful for revealed truth. He said in one place, I thank the old Father because you have hid these things from the wise and has revealed them unto us. He is thankful for answered prayer. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. How many times has he answered prayer? You ought to say, thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. What about during Calvary? What about during the darkest night forever? Jesus was thankful at Calvary. The Bible says that in the shadow of the cross looming, darkly and immediately ahead, he just, the Bible says, simply gave thanks. And he began to sing a song, even at Gethsemane. Oh, my friend, thanksgiving is essential. We've got to have it, and we've got to have more of it. We've got to recognize it, and we've got to practice it. I close with this, and I didn't realize this until I was studying, but it was said, history knows no disaster which parallels the earthquake and fire that visited Japan this month and laid waste the capital city and chief seaport. This is dated September 1923. Brother Elam, you remember that when it happened? All right. I love you, Brother Elam. Amen. Do you love me, my brother? Amen. I'll be thankful. Amen. That's right. That's a good comeback, brother. Oh, Brother Elam. Amen. Amen. History knows no disaster which parallels the earthquake and fire that visited Japan this month and laid waste to the capital city. So 1993, the New York Tribune called the earthquake undoubtedly the greatest disaster in recorded times. The New York Times described havoc as covering 45,000 square miles and contained five big cities and with a population of 7 million. Other dispatches reported that virtually every building in Yokohama was destroyed. Perhaps three-fourths of Tokyo was burned, and the entire city with its 5 million inhabitants were shattered by this earthquake. A joint survey made by Herbert Hoover, the president, and the Red Cross estimated, actually he wasn't the president at that time, but it estimated the deaths to be 300,000 with 2,500,000 people homeless as a result of this. Disease and despair rode throughout the entire island empire. Then help came. Where did it come from? This is 1923. Help came from America. Food, clothing, medical supplies, volunteer workers came by the shipload. The American Red Cross collected $10 million from the people of the United States. Now, $10 million in 1923 would probably be more like, you know, $100 million now. So that's a lot of funds for the hungry and the homeless. Those who lived through the awful earth tremors, the gigantic waves, and the tongues of fire must perish, it seemed, from starvation or disease. But they didn't. Why? Because America remembered their need, their suffering, their hunger. And the people seemed to be grateful and even put in their appreciation. A correspondent for the International News Service said these words, due to all that was done to Japan, he put in these words, Japan will never forget all that America has done. That was in 1923. December the 7th, 1941. Japan forgot. And by the way, December 7th, I always watch the movie Torah, Torah, Torah. Awesome movie. Everybody needs to watch it. It's a great movie on Pearl Harbor. Just factual right by the book and very entertaining, but very realistic. Torah, Torah, Torah. Look it up. But Japan forgot, didn't they? And they hurled bombs to our defenseless ships in a diabolical sneak attack that turns the stomach of every American even to this day. But you listen to me tonight. I'll tell you what's worse than Japan forgetting America. What's worse than the bombs exploding in Pearl Harbor Bay is when you or I are ungrateful for the price he paid for the sins and for our salvation. I know we can be thankful for water and food and clothing, but as we stand tonight, the greatest thing we must always be thankful for is on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. If we forget the cross, we're worse than Japan. If we forget the cross, we're worse than those kamikazes that dropped those bombs. If we forget His bleeding side for us, and we may not have our 18 pillars, but oh God, we thank You for every good and perfect gift. I'll tell you, Thanksgiving for all of us, it is essential. Let's praise Him. Let's bless Him. Let's glorify His name tonight. Let's magnify the Lord. Let's send up praises and thanksgiving. He's brought us through and He's going to take us to. Give Him a hand of praise as Pastor Jerry comes tonight. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll never forget the cross, but I don't want to forget God's grace that was shed on America. What a terrible thing for a nation such as ours to be in the dilemma we are and have forgotten God at the place of fullness. We've got so much to be thankful for. And we always leave here saying, look at three people and tell them you're blessed and highly favored of God. I want Brother Elam Johnson to come up and give some thanksgiving. He got a tremendous blessing recently. I don't have to get one this size. I try to remember every little thing that God does for me. And I try to think just the little things, like a meal that somebody buys for me. I say, thank you, Lord. That was Your favor. But I want you to hear a great report.
Because, and it's because of seed time, harvest time. I learned a long time ago, when you give to God, you're going to get something back. I went in for cataract surgery the first time, and everything was taken care of. When I went in for the last one to be done, the devil was fought me tooth and toenail.
Come on.
But I stood on God's word, and I quoted Malachi 3:10 to the devil until he finally heard me. And I got a $10,000 discharge from the hospital because of seed time, harvest time.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Seed time, harvest. He teaches it every Sunday. But an insurance company, they were not going to pay the government. Try to pick one little stipulation, but there's a God in heaven. Think about the greatness of God. And think about when you extend thanksgiving to Him and then thank sharing with someone else. I want you to look at the marquee when you go out and we're in this season of thanksgiving. I'm going to have thanksgiving. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. We got so much to be thankful for. I love that scripture. It was one of the first scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that I memorized. I was in a very hard place. He said, in everything give thanks. You'll know God's will, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Anybody can complain. Anybody can cut themselves off from the flow of God. But it's just something about that thankful, sharing, caring heart that God cast a special eye on that person. Let's sing it. I'm blessed.
I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I wake up, I am blessed. I wake up in the morning,
oh, till
I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. I am blessed.
Why are you so blessed?
I am blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. I am. blessed coming in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed to be a blessing. Jesus' name. I am blessed. Hallelujah. I am blessed. Every day
that I
wake up, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning,
or till I lay my head to rest,
I am blessed. I am
sing it, I am blessed. Hallelujah.
I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I wake up, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed.
That song was too short, so I wrote this part.
I am blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. I am blessed coming. I am blessed going out. I am blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name.
I am blessed. Glory.
I am blessed.
Hallelujah.
I am blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
Every day that I wake up, I am. In the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am
when
blessed.
I wake up in the morning, hallelujah.
When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am.
Come on, let's thank him. Let's praise
Hallelujah.
Him. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Spirit of gratitude. What a way to live. Thank you, Pastor Ricky.
Hallelujah.
Have an attitude.
Yes.
Of gratitude. Amen. It's been a good day in the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Women's Ministry, for bringing our speaker this morning. That was such a great, great event for us. And I told you, it didn't look like a whole lot happened that day in Henderson. One soul got saved. Sure meant a lot to me. And there were some people that were really blessed here today. Look at three people and tell them, you're blessed and highly favored of God. You're blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God.